This program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, please stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and done with no manipulation because we do not con people. We're not hustling money. We're not trying to sell you a product. We're not asking you to join anything. But we would like for you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I'm able to do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want to. It's your life. Your decision, and remember, bad decisions limit future options. God gave you two ends, one to sit with and one to think with. Success in your life will depend on which one you use, I promise you. No one once said, heads you win, tails you lose, so listen carefully. In the last few shows, I mentioned to you that after the new year begins, we'll start dropping a few stations and adding some new ones. I've really been humbled by all the requests that have come in, both by email and voicemail, and where many have said, please don't quit broadcasting. In my town, I assure you we've been very cautious in making these decisions. I state again, it's not because of finances, that's not the point. God has faithfully provided all of our financial needs since we started this journey 20 years ago. These decisions are based on lack of interest in that specific location or that town where that show plays. And that just simply means there's no request coming in for material, no contact from listeners. So if you are in one of these locations, you can still access the show even if we go off the air on your local radio station by going to rickhughesministries.org on the internet, rickhughesministries.org. And if you will click on the tab that says Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline, then you can hear every show we've ever done. They are all posted there on the internet on our website for your listening 24 hours a day. You can also access the shows via podcast platforms such as Apple iPod or Spotify. Both are free apps. Both of them can be downloaded on your cell phone or your iPad tablet. So if you want to listen, you can do it that way as well in case we dropped your particular station in your town. But thank you for all of you that have called and said, please don't drop it in my city. We're taking that into consideration. Today, we'll wrap up our study on the family. If you just tuned in, let me bring you up to speed so you'll understand what I'm talking about. In the beginning of this series, I told you the family is one of God's divine institutions. Remember, there are four divine institutions that God has established for the orderly function of the human race. And these four divine institutions apply to Christians as well as non-Christians, regardless of race or gender. While dealing with the family, I began a study using family as an acrostic. We studied, for example, F stood for fathers, who are essential in the family. We studied A, that I said would deal with authority and authority orientation, which is critical in raising your children. We studied the word M for mothers, the letter M for mothers and their essential role in the family. We also took the letter L and related it to and related it to intercessory prayer, which is the job of each family member praying for one another. We took the letter L and related it to God's logistical grace provisions for all members of the human race, including family members. Today we will wrap up this study of the acrostic family by looking at the letter Y. What is Y going to stand for? I'm going to use Y to stand for your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. You know, I heard our outgoing president in a recent speech saying that we are in a struggle for the soul of America. I guess he was relating to the Democratic Party being in a struggle for the soul of America. I wondered what he meant by those words and what he was implying. And here is my conclusion. I know that every individual has a soul. There's no doubt about that. It's the invisible, immortal part of your personal makeup. For example, your body will die. I've done many funerals, conducted many funerals, and watched many people die, but their soul lives on forever, and hopefully in a resurrection body, hopefully enjoying eternity with their Heavenly Father. But I believe the soul possesses volition, which is your ability to choose. You choose to listen to this radio show. You can change this channel or turn off the radio. But you, if you're listening, you used your volition. You chose it. Your soul has mentality, and that's your ability to think, logic, reason, comprehend, and conclude. Your soul has a conscience, and this is where you house all of your norms and standards. What's right, what's wrong, freedom, privacy, patriotism, things like this. So you have norms and standards in your soul, and that's exactly what parents are supposed to plant. Good norms and standards in the lives of their young people. And your soul has a self-consciousness, and this is an undue awareness of one's appearance or one's action. So, in other words, you can go stand in front of a mirror with five other people and pick yourself out. You have self-consciousness. The mentality of the soul is where we're supposed to have insight, where we're supposed to have discernment and understanding. Three critical things in your life you must have if you're going to make good decisions. Insight, discernment, and understanding. The question we have to ask is, how do you dumb down the soul of an individual? And the answer is simple, change the way they think. If you can change the way they think, you can infiltrate a person's mentality, then obviously you can control their decisions. Progressive politics in our current nation is an attempt to change the way young people think. It begins with a public lie. If you tell it often enough, if you tell it long enough, then people will begin to believe it. And by the way, this is a tactic of the devil. It's his specialty. In John 8:44, our Lord Jesus Christ made these words. He said these words, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He's talking to the religious crowd now, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees that were persecuting him. He went on to say about Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources because he is a liar and the father of all lies. Lying is interesting. It's a type of manipulation. When our Lord said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," he wasn't talking about you shall know a lie and the lie will deceive you and entrap you. Truth frees you. Our Lord Jesus Christ was implying that by understanding who he is and by putting your trust in him for your eternal salvation, then you will be redeemed from sin and free from satanic deception. Listen to John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, thank goodness, but have the light of life." Notice again in John 8:23 and 24, he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." If you are redeemed from the slave market of sin, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no longer do you have to walk in darkness, and that's the lie. You no longer do you have to be deceived. You can have the light of life, or the light of the Word of God in your soul that gives you insight, discernment, and understanding. Your spiritual life that we're talking about, the critical piece for the family, the spiritual life of each individual in that family, the father, the mother, the siblings, the youth, the brothers, the sisters, that begins the moment they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's called being born again, the biblical term, born again. Once you make that decision, you begin a new life. "He that believes in him shall never perish and have everlasting life, and he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already." And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, told Nicodemus personally in John 3:16 that he needed to be born again. What exactly is born again mean? What's he talking about? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, again, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and that's what happens when you get saved, "you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's obviously when I received Christ as my Savior back in 1967. I didn't change outside. I still look the same. still big, ugly guy as I always was, but inside something changed. Inside, I had a new life in Christ. I had a dead human spirit that was made alive. See, I was born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And by receiving Christ as my Savior, I was made spiritually alive. That's when my spiritual life began. The moment I believed in Christ and accepted Him as my Savior, I became a third person. I have a body, I have a soul that lives forever, and I have a human spirit indwelled by God, the Holy Spirit, that allows me to have a relationship with God the Father. So if I have this new life, which I do, it required a new way of thinking. So, in other words, now that I'm a Christian and now that Christ lives in me, now that my human spirit is made alive by means of the Holy Spirit, now I have to learn how to think and not think the lie. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," the Apostle Paul wrote. In other words, you have to learn to think like he thought, and humility was his mindset. There may be things you believed in the past in your life, but now, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you have to recover from that retarded way of thinking. Thus, we have the new spiritual life, your spiritual life, a new way of living, the new you inside. No one will see it on the outside, but God will recognize it because He is a Spirit, and those that worship Him, the Bible says, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This new spiritual life requires you learn how to function in it. What are your assets? What are your abilities that you now possess? What is this new spiritual life? Hopefully we'll be able to have a book out about this very soon. My friends and I are working on this book, and we're trying to get it all together about your spiritual life so that you'll be able to comprehend it, understand it, and pass it on to other people if you'd like to. But it begins with a new way of thinking, as I said. Learn how to think. That's why we have mandates like 2 Peter 3:18. That's a mandate. That's a command from God through the Apostle Peter. Here's what he said. 2 Peter 3:18. "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's not a request. That's a mandate. Grow is a verb, and in that verb we do the morphology of that verb, and we know from the Greek morphology that that is a present, active, imperative verb. He's not asking believers to grow, he's telling them to grow. And grow in what? In the grace, prepositional phrase, in the grace and knowledge of what? Of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here's what you can get from that. If you're not growing, you're sinning. If you're not growing, you're sinning. Well, how would you know if you're growing? Well, are you learning anything? Are you learning any new biblical concepts? Are you studying the Scripture? You shouldn't go a week or two living the same life. You're supposed to learn. Look at an infant. They learn how to crawl. They learn how to walk. They learn how to talk. They learn how to eat. They learn how to stand. They learn how to whatever. You have to learn these things. And that's why you're told by the Apostle Peter, grow up as a Christian. Learn about grace. What do you know about grace? Saving grace, living grace, dying grace, surpassing grace, all grace provisions. What do you know about our Lord Jesus Christ? Undiminished deity, true humanity, and one body forever. We call that the hypostatic union. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. There's knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a lot in that verse. If I just took 2 Peter 3:18 and taught that verse in a local church to a Sunday school class or even to a congregation, I could teach on that verse for a while. That's why we have the mandate. Spiritual growth for the spiritual life requires that we study the Scriptures and we apply what we learn, if we learn anything. Why do we have to apply it? So we can replicate the life of Christ and thus introduce the world to Him. The profile of an individual with a fully developed spiritual life is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Check this out against your own profile, your personality traits. See if any of this applies to you. I call it the personality trait of a mature believer, or the profile of the spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, how long do you think I could teach on that one? If I taught a class on this, we could spend a whole lot of time talking about the virtue of love and personal love and personal love. Some friend of mine was talking to me the other day about why did the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross? Why did he just not tell the Father, no, I'm not going to do it? He did pray, if this is your will, let this cup pass away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Why was that? Because he loved his Heavenly Father. Personal love for God is so great that it motivates us to be obedient. And he was obedient to his Heavenly Father's will, even to death. So we could study love for a long time. And joy is the mental attitude. Peace is the mental attitude. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. My goodness, we could study all of this one verse at a time, one word at a time, and it may take as much as a year to go through that verse and break every one of those down so we would understand what each one of them is. That's the profile that the mature believer has in his spiritual life. Personality traits like this are a replication of what our Lord Jesus Christ thought while he functioned in the devil's world. And they can also be yours if, and I say if, conditional clause, if you follow the protocol plan of God. And that plan is best observed by understanding and using the flot line in your soul. That's why God gave it to you, so that you can have a flot line. 10 unique problem-solving devices that encapsulate your spiritual life. Your spiritual life can't function without rebound. That's 1 John 1:9. Your spiritual life can't function without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Your spiritual life cannot function without the faith rest drill. Your spiritual life cannot function without orienting to grace and orienting to the Word of God. Grace orientation, doctrinal orientation. Your spiritual life cannot function without a personal sense of destiny, understanding, knowing what God's plan for your life is, what your spiritual gift is, and where God designed you to serve. Your spiritual life can't function without having personal love for God, which is your motivational virtue, and impersonal love for everyone, which is your functional virtue. And if all these things are at work in your life, you will share the happiness of God, and you will be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the flot line in your soul, those 10 unique problem-solving devices. If you don't know them, why don't you write to me and get the book, Christian Problem Solving. We list them all and we break them all down in the book, Christian Problem Solving, and it's free. Just go to my website, click on the books, and go down to the bottom and order Christian Problem Solving, and we will send you the book on the Christian Problem Solving flot line of your soul so you'll understand how each one of them works, okay? Please do that. So now listen, as a parent, or even a grandparent, if I'm talking to you, you may be a grandparent like my wife and I. Your job is to protect the soul of your precious children or your grandchildren. How do we do that? Well, we do that by planting the Word of God in their soul's mentality at a very young age. Maybe by just having them bow their head and say the blessing. They learn that there is a God and you're asking God to bless the food. Why do you say the blessing? So you don't get sick. You pray over the food for God to sanctify it, set it apart so it doesn't make you sick. And thank him for what he gave you. That's why. So we do that with our grandchildren and our children just to instill the idea that there is a God and he is in charge. Don't forget the devil wants to hijack the thinking of your children and hijack the thinking of your grandchildren. And he will use all available means to do this. He wants to battle for your soul, as the ex-president said. We're in a war for the battle for the soul of the American people. No, we're not. We're in a war to lift up Christ and make him plain. We're in a battle for their spiritual life, for their eternal life. Subtle messages in TV, cartoons, internet websites, social media influence, all these things are mostly designed to lure the spiritually retarded person into the cosmic vortex, where destruction and disaster will be guaranteed in his life. That's why 1 Peter 5:8 said, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour." You have a choice. If you're a believer, if you're not growing, you're going to become lion bait. And I don't have to tell you what a lion does after he eats. That's what you're going to wind up being, a pile of lion defecation. I hope that's not true, but unless you learn the Word of God, unless you sober up and are vigilant, unless you begin to understand and apply the Word of God to your spiritual life, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to have eternal life, but you're not ever going to replicate the life of Christ. You're never going to be able to represent Him to your friends. You're never going to be able to bring God any glory because you functioned outside the flot line. You didn't have a flot line. You never learned the plan of God for your life. You made your own plan up. You did things your way. As many times as I encourage you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, and yet you don't do it. Say, oh, well, I just listened to you on Sunday morning and I'll get a little nice little message. That's not what my radio show's about. I'm not here to give you a nice little message. I'm here to challenge you to grow up, to get with it, so that your spiritual life will take centerpiece, so that you will be able to glorify God to the maximum, and your family will have a maximum impact in this nation. To most conservative individuals, it appears that God may have granted a reprieve to this nation by allowing a person of their choice to be installed as the next president coming up very soon. It's the hope of many that this next person that has been elected will help us restore traditional values to our national institutions. Perhaps those things will happen. I hope it does. But I caution you not to depend on a man and not to depend on a woman to restore order or to bring change to this ailing nation. Listen to what the Scriptures say. Hebrews 17:5. Thus say the Lord, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, and who makes man his strength, flesh his strength, from whose heart departs, from whose heart will depart from the Lord. So the true solution to the stability, the peacefulness, the prosperous function in our nation lies in your spiritual life, in your soul's mentality, because that's where it is. As goes that, so goes your spiritual life. So goes the course of this nation. Perhaps you've heard me quote these verses that talk about God's discipline on the nation. But I want to listen. I want you to listen to them again, okay? Hosea 4, 1 through 3. Listen carefully. See if you can figure out why a nation goes under divine discipline and is destroyed. Nations such as ours. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Hosea 4, 1 through 3. There is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, well, that's America right there. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea, will be taken away. Now you may ask, why would these things happen to a nation like America? Well, the answer is found in the following verses, Hosea 4, 6. Here it is. Listen carefully. My people, and we believe we are, America is God's land, are destroyed, and we can be, for lack of knowledge. Knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest nation for me. Because you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children. That's why it's critical that you have a spiritual life, so that your children will have freedom in the future, because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the freedom of this nation. National degeneration is a result of failing to anchor your spiritual life in the Word of God. I don't care who we elect as our leader. If we continue to ignore the mandates to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then national destruction is just a matter of time. So I encourage you to make your spiritual life priority number one by staying filled with the Holy Spirit, and by getting under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor who can shepherd your soul. Because if you continue to put your hope in a politician, you're going to be disillusioned and eventually disappointed. One well-qualified, squared-away pastor teacher is much more valuable than any political leader, I promise you. The spiritual life of the mature Christian will represent Christ to those in his periphery and will bring the gospel to those who are lost. Your ministry and my ministry on this planet is not to promote a political party, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and declare God's plan for all. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. So I leave you this morning with one final thought. The impact of the spiritually mature believer can be visible or invisible, but very powerful. Blessing by association to others, national blessing as a member of the Pivot, which stabilizes the nation, international impact through missionary outreach, angelic impact by being a witness for the prosecution of Satan and his attempt to avoid eternal damnation in the lake of fire. This powerful, invisible impact will only be revealed in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why your spiritual life is so important. Gee, I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. We can provide these notes for you in a transcript if you need us. Just get a hold of us through our website or contact us at our 800 number. We'll be glad to help you. If you call, remember, we don't always answer the phone early in the morning on Sunday morning, okay? So remember that. If you want to call 800-831-0718, 800-831-0718, we'll do all we can to provide you with this information. But my prayer is you'll get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, you'll grow in grace, and you'll replicate the life of Christ. That's my prayer for you. So thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for listening to my series on the family. Beginning next week, we'll move into a new topic. So until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and as we say always, no manipulation, because we're not trying to con you for money. We're not trying to sell you a product. We're not going to ask you to join anything. We would just like to ask you to listen as I try to verify and identify the Word of God for your life, the plan of God for your life, and if that's possible, you can orient and adjust to the plan should you choose to do so. And my job is to be on this radio station every Sunday morning at this same time. This is show 1005 that we're moving into today. And I'd like to thank you for listening and thank you for giving me a few moments of your time. Before we begin our show today and what we're going to study, I want to remind you that a few weeks ago we announced that we would be dropping some radio stations in the coming year. Your response has been overwhelming. My goodness. So many have written and so many have asked we do not drop their local station since they listen faithfully every Sunday morning. I've had calls and emails from the East Coast to the West Coast, even as far away as Alaska. And we have listened and we are asking for the Lord's guidance in these decisions we have to make. Some thought maybe we were hurting financially, thus that's why we're eliminating radio stations due to high cost. But that's not the case. Our God has faithfully supplied every need of ours during the 20-plus years this show has been on the air. There's never been a time that we hurt financially, even though we don't sell anything and we don't ask for money. What we're trying to determine is where we're not hearing from listeners. So if we have aired in a particular city for a year or more, 2 years, and only one or two individuals have responded or asked for books or other material, then we assume there's simply not a demand to continue in that city. We do continue to look for new cities and add them monthly to our radio broadcast. So keep up your prayers for us. as we cut and add some stations in the future. Remember, all these shows are podcast daily on various podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and others. And if you know how to podcast, then you can get them on your phone or your listening device, your pad, iPad, anytime you want to, 24 hours a day all over the world. Okay? Now let's move into today's message so we can get diving in and continue what we're doing, a study on the family. We're doing an in-depth study on the family, one of God's divine institutions. Every Sunday I've taken a letter from the word family and spoken in depth about that topic. F was for fathers. A was for authority orientation. M was our study on mothers. I was a study on intercessory prayer. And today we will use the letter L. L. F-A-M-I-L. L means we're going to take a look at logistical grace provisions. Logistical grace provisions. Now today we're going to study this and hopefully you'll understand it. I hope I can make it clear. So as we look at logistical grace provisions, let me remind you, logistical grace is defined as a divine planning, divine support system, divine provision system, divine blessings, so you and I can execute the protocol plan of God and fulfill God's will for our life, God's purpose for our life, and God's plan for our life. He provides logistical grace for us so we can have the support and the provisions and the blessings that we need. Logistical grace is actually, not grace, but logistics is a military term, and it means this is how they sustain the troops in the field, you know, the beans and bullets that are needed, the gas that is needed. Every form of military activity, every maneuver in the field has to be supported by proper logistics. For the Christian family, you and I, that logistics that we're going to talk about today is God's guaranteed provision for your life and especially for the life of your children. Believers and unbelievers alike have certain logistical blessings, and it starts with life support. I mean, take a deep breath this morning, breathe it in, and you might enjoy the smell. That's the air you breathe. That's logistics. That's logistical grace, life support. God gives you air to breathe. And if you had a sip of water, like I just did before I began this show, you have water to drink. That's logistics. And when I walked into the recording studio this morning, I didn't float up to the ceiling. That's gravity. It keeps me from floating off into space, and this is a logistic provision as well. And these things, air, water, gravity, all these sort of things, are for all members of the human race, everybody. You are alive today only for one reason, because of the logistical grace of God keeping you alive, not because of anything you've done. These are divine provisions bestowed upon everyone, in order that each person could have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remind you that our God loves you, and He is not willing that any should perish. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why you have logistics. God is giving you time to make a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I received a phone call from a wonderful individual yesterday telling me that he had done just that from listening to our radio show. He had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is now a member of the royal family of God, and I'm so grateful for that. If you've never done that, it's your essential decision you must make in your life, the number one decision you must make in your life, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a simple decision. Is he or is he not the Son of God? Did he do what he said he would do or did he not? Did he resurrect from the dead? Did he walk out of the grave alive? Yes, it's proof of that. And are you going to believe that? Are you going to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you will. That's why God's keeping you alive, giving you time to make that decision in your life. Now, if you're a Christian parent, as my wife and I are, our job is to let our children know how God sustains their life every day. In order that they have the opportunity to enjoy eternal life, and that would all, of course, be compliments of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, where He paid for all of our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, that's God, made him who knew no sin, that's Christ, to be sin for us, that's me and you, so that, in order that, we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's no way that we can equal God's righteousness. We're not ever going to be good enough. The Bible says there are none that are righteous. No, not one. So the only way we can ever have any fellowship with God is to assume the righteousness of Christ. And that's given to us when he went to the cross, died in our place, when we believe in him and receive him. And I quote that verse again, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's why you can have fellowship with God. That's why our prayers can be answered. That's why God accepts us, because we are on equal terms with him now. We have the righteousness of Christ given to us through our faith in him. In 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sin on the cross, on his own body, on that tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So not only are we given the righteousness of Christ, but we're able to manufacture capacity righteousness in our life as we live the plan of God every day. Once we receive Christ as Savior, well, we're then provided our daily needs by his logistical grace in order that we could eventually fulfill his plan for our lives. Listen to Matthew 6:25-34, rather long passage, but you will see the logistical grace of God here in this passage. Therefore, Matthew 6:25, I say to you, do not worry. Worrying is a sin. You might not realize that, but worrying is a sin and needs to be confessed as a sin. That's why you have a flatline in your soul, so the outside sources of adversity don't become the inside source of stress and cause you to worry. Don't worry about your life. If you're a Christian, there it is. Don't worry. Don't worry about who's elected president, who's elected vice president, who's elected senator, who's elected congressman, who's elected mayor, who's elected governor. Don't worry. Don't worry what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will drink. Don't worry about your body and what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. That's God's logistical grace for the birds. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? Which of you, by worrying, can add one day or one inch to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Here's logistical grace for the flowers. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ said, I say to you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Why do you not have faith? Because you don't understand the grace provision called logistical grace provisions for you. Therefore, 31, do not worry about anything, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek, that's unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. These verses are about priority in your life. And when the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's the priority of any Christian family if they're ever going to reach spiritual maturity. They got to have priority. We all must have priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be provided for you. When mom and dad don't place a priority on their spiritual life, but instead, they make priority their children's entertainment, their children's sports team, their children's doing whatever their children need to do on Sunday or whatever day of the week it is. It's no wonder that the children see no need to seek God's will as adults in their life, because their parents never got them there. Their parents never took time to take them to church. They're too busy keeping them involved in sports. Mom and dad trained them in sports competition, but never took them to sit down, Never took time to sit down and pray with them. Never took time to sit down and study with them. Never took them to church. Never took them to Sunday school. Always on the go. Always trying to make sure they're happy. Listen, you don't take time to study God's word with them or even teach them how to pray. It's no wonder the future grandchildren or your future grandchildren are not going to be concerned with the things of God because mom and dad did not do what the Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When believers have the correct priority, then blessing over and beyond will flow from God. One such blessing that I want to bring to your attention is called blessing by association. These blessings are received in the spiritual realm as well as in the temporal realm, and can even include dying blessing. All the logistical blessings that God provides come to us as a result of our adoption into the royal family of God. What a wonderful thing. These logistical blessings that I've been reading to you are provided for every church-age believer. That's above and beyond the air you breathe, the food you eat, the water you drink. This is more than that. This is unbelievable logistical grace blessings provided for you if you put your priorities number one. And this explains why we are alive every moment of the day. The only reason God keeps us alive, you and me, is because of logistical grace. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, and there's no work we can accomplish to keep ourselves alive. It's only by the grace of God that we take another breath. So Christians who fail to execute the Christian life, and there's a lot of them, believers who fail to execute the Christian life, still have at least the 40 things they received at salvation. Maybe you've never heard that before. There are 40 unique assets you're given the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to find out what they are, I would suggest you do this. I would suggest you contact Theme Ministries, T-H-I-E-M-E, Ministries in Houston, Texas. And their number is 713-621-3740. 713-621-3740. And ask for the book on the 40 things that God provides for you at salvation. They'll send it free of charge. No problem. But one of those things which God provides is a wonderful thing. It's called his righteousness. This means that God will support us, sustain us, regardless of how deserving or undeserving we are. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, always having all sufficiency in all things, all grace, all sufficiency, all things, and then have an abundance for every good work. And in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply, there it is again, all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's grace blessing. God is able to make all grace, there's the word grace, abound towards you, 2 Corinthians 9:8, so that you will have all sufficiency in all things and abundance for every good work. And again, Paul said, my God will supply everything you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a question. What happens when a believing son or a believing daughter turns away from what you taught them when they were children? Maybe they accepted Christ. Maybe you taught them the word of God and they turned away from it as they got older. They went off to college. They got recruited into the cosmic system. They moved out from underneath your umbrella protection, your umbrella provision, and they've abandoned the biblical principles that you taught them when they were living at home. And now they're becoming responsible for their own personal decisions, and they've gone down the what we call the my way highway. That's where they will come under warning discipline and eventually maybe even intense discipline if they don't recover. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a parable in Luke 15:14-17 about the prodigal son. Here's what he said about the prodigal son who went down the my way highway. When he had spent all his inheritance, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and that guy gave him a job, sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the slop the pigs were eating because nobody gave him anything. And when he came to himself, notice that, when he came to himself, That means that his arrogance had been broken and genuine humility had seeped into his soul, and now he realizes what an idiot he was. When he came to himself, he said these words, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and even to spare, and I'm starving from hunger." This parable of the wayward son is proof that God's discipline produces enforced humility where there is none. When there's no genuine humility as a child of God, he will enforce discipline and give humility that they need. It's called enforced humility. So, had this young man not gone back home to his father, had he not come to his own senses, had he not awakened and realized what an idiot he had been, then he most certainly probably would have died in a foreign land. That's grace blessing from God to get him back on track again. Now, logistical grace that God provides for you is so life can be sustained. Logistical grace provisions for sustaining life are never taken away when a child of God goes under divine discipline. So if you have children under divine discipline, God's not going to remove their logistical grace support system. He's still going to feed them. He's still going to let them breathe air. He's still going to give them water. He's still going to keep gravity working. However, they may be under divine discipline. These things, on the contrary, might sustain their life. And the reason that it does is it gives them time to recover from their sin if they will recognize it and then use 1 John 1:9 or what we call rebound, which is problem-solving device number one. That's what we do when we sin. We recover from our sin by using 1 John 1:9. The Hebrews tells us that God will discipline us when we get out of line if we're his children. In Hebrews 12:6, the Bible says this, "For those whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten or whip?" That discipline can come in three stages in your life. It can be warning discipline, where that's very easy. It's just maybe God will let you hear a message on the radio. Maybe you'll read something in a book. Maybe you'll see something on a billboard. Maybe you'll see some graphic in social media, and God will speak as like a warning to you. Stop. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it. And if you don't listen, if you continue to wander down the my way highway and shake it off, you know, like there's a sign up that says dead end ahead, and you keep driving 100 miles an hour down the road, where you're going to come under the second stage called intense discipline. And this is where God has to take you out behind the woodshed and administer a little pain to your life. No pain, no gain. And he will do that, and he probably has done it maybe in your life. I know he's done it in mine to keep me straight. And then there's the third stage called dying discipline. Dying discipline. That's when God takes a believer home. That's when their time on earth is called. They're wasting God's time, wasting their time and everybody else's time, and the Lord takes them home. They're in heaven with minus rewards. Proverbs 15:10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. In other words, if you don't respond to the correction, you don't listen to God, then you're setting yourself up for an early death. And your children may be doing exactly that, wandering down the my way highway, rejecting all the provisions that God has given, setting themselves up for an early death because they think they're smarter than God. In Psalm 34, verses 15 and 16 says this, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. But in verse 16 of Psalm 34, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." So don't forget that. You're not hiding anything from God. He's watching. He knows who's in fellowship. He knows who's living the Christian life, and he will listen to your prayer as you pray for your children, pray for your spouse, pray for your family. But those who do evil, who continue to reject his plan, they're going to be cut off from the remembrance on the earth. So let me ask you a question as I close. This is a very serious question. I want you to consider this. Are you currently under divine discipline? Are you under warning discipline, intense discipline, and maybe even knocking on the door of dying discipline? What about you? I'm not asking you, have you committed a sin? That's not what I'm asking you. But rather, have you failed to admit your sin and you continue to cover it up, hoping God is not aware of what you're doing? We all sin. We all fail often on a daily basis. But we don't all fail to recognize our sin and admit them to God. So as long as you continue to stubbornly deny and hide the sin that you're doing, you will be suffering divine discipline in your life. David had to come to that point in Psalm 32:5 in his life, where he said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, that's David, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's exactly what you may need to do if you're out of fellowship, if you're on that my way highway, if you're living off of logistical grace provisions, and that's it, nothing else from God. You've been cut off from the blessings you deserve, and you're wandering down the my way highway. If God didn't keep you alive, you'd be dead by now, and he's keeping you alive so you can recover, so you can get back in fellowship where you belong. As a wayward child of God and a rebellious child of God, I'm going to say that again, as a wayward child of God and a rebellious child of your parents, I meant to say, then it's time that you faced your own arrogant attitude and you come home where you belong. The problem with arrogance is lack of humility. If you don't have genuine humility, you will always have an unrealistic self-image, resulting in unrealistic expectations from other people and even from God. So if your son or if your daughter has rejected what you taught them as a child, it does not mean they've lost their salvation. That's not what it means. But it definitely means they have arrogantly assumed they are smarter than God and smarter than you, and all that Bible stuff you exposed them to was simply fairy tales. I remind them that life in the devil's world is very tough and very exhausting. So keep praying for them and keep watching for them to return. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, we find these verses, which are key verses for me. I enjoy this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So how do you get to your wayward children? Trust in the Lord. Pray for them with all your heart, positive volition. Don't try to argue with them or logically try to debate with them. Just trust in the Lord. Pray for him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. And he will give you the insight of what you need to do. Well, I hope you've been listening. I hope you're paying attention to that. Logistical grace provisions for the family. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Next show will be on the word, the letter Y, and we'll have an interesting thing to study there. But remember, the family is one of the four divine institutions, and it's critical for the survival of this nation. As go the family of America, so goes the future. And we have a bright future ahead of us, an opportunity now to see some time, things that maybe we haven't seen in a long time. So my prayer is that you will seize this opportunity to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you will advance your own personal life in the plan of God by getting serious about it. Quit focusing on politics and focus on your spiritual life, which is critical, much more critical than politics, because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of the nation. So I hope you're listening. I hope you'll continue to pray for me as we press on into the year 2024, rounding the corner into 2025. It's a wonderful time to be alive, wonderful opportunities God's given us, and we depend on your prayers and your thoughts for us as we press on, okay? So thank you for listening. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical.